The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hi, glad to be with you here on SB Nation AM. Oh, my goodness. If you're a New York Giants fan, hold on. Enjoy rebuilding. Although you knew that, right? You knew that, it was going to happen. They trade Odell Beckham to the Cleveland Browns. I want to get to the Cleveland Browns in a second, but let me focus on the Giants for a bit. The New York Giants trade Odell Beckham. They're in rebuilding mode. Saquon Barkley now is their player, right? Their future player. But now the question becomes in New York for the Giants organization. What do you really want to do with Eli Manning? Do you want to give him nobody and have him play out a year in which the Giants are not going to win? Or do you want to have a conversation with Eli Manning about leaving and getting out of here as good as possible, as quickly as you can? For Eli, you know, if he wants out, he can walk. If he wants to stay and collect his, what, $17 million or whatever he's making, then he stays. But the Giants have got to figure out what they want to do with this quarterback because they're not winning, and they know they're not winning. They trade one of the best players the franchise has ever had, and they've had some great players, and he's on that list. And they trade him for rebuilding stuff, right? They traded him for picks. Right, they're going to go in another direction. But does that direction include Eli Manning in what is now going to be sort of a lame duck year at quarterback? Do you go down the road of saying, look, let's get Josh Rosen. Let's draft Dwayne Haskins. Let's get a quarterback in here and let Eli Manning get out of this thing with some semblance of respect. He is a two-time Super Bowl champion, and he won those two Super Bowls against the Patriots. So if you're going to win a Super Bowl in this era, winning him against the Patriots solidifies a nice legacy for you. Get him out. Tell him you want him. We'll do what. Get him. Get Eli to understand it's time to go, because if you're the Giants, you have got to start looking at the future at that position. But if you're Eli, and you know what? You want to hang around and kind of bounce around 17 weeks of NFL football, 16 games of mediocrity and terribleness, good luck. But now I want to focus on the Browns, because that division is starting to get very, very interesting. We'll talk about that, the Odell Beckham trade, Ron Culver's back from vacation, all coming up. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Boy, what a busy week in the NFL. I mean, just the last couple of days. Le'Veon Bell going to join the Jets, 4 years, $52.5 million. I don't know if this worked out. I don't know if at the end he got what he wanted. But he did get out of the Pittsburgh, and he got a deal, and he got a guaranteed deal. But I don't know if you want to work the numbers. It's, to me, the numbers, he didn't make out numbers-wise, but he may have made out psychologically, right? Like, he ended up getting, 4 years. He got some good money. He got out of Pittsburgh. So if that's what he wanted, that's exactly what he wanted. But you know what? Look at this. Look at this, what's going on in the AFC North now. Look at the teams that have been excellent in that division over the last couple of years, right? The Steelers. No more Killer Bees, right? It's now Ben Roethlisberger's show. And he's got James Conner, and that's fine. And Juju Smith-Schuster, and that's fine. But Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown created, with Ben Roethlisberger, one of the most prolific offenses in scoring that the league has seen. And they are dismantled. All right. Baltimore, CJ Mosley is gone, right? They've lost a few players. The Cincinnati Bengals have not really made a big move. And look who is the Cleveland Browns. Could be primed to take that division. I don't know yet. There's still a part of me that wants to back off a bit, but look at what Cleveland's been able to do. They are building a championship team. They are building a contending team. Let's see if it plays out on the field. But this is a great, bold move for Cleveland by getting Odell Beckham Jr. He can play, right? We know that. Yeah, he can be a little nutty. Sometimes the boat trip wasn't really, ideal. But, he's young. But this is going to be a fun transition to watch this Browns organization. Since coming back into the league in 99, one playoff appearance, and now have a really fun team to watch. They were fun last year. I mean, they may have lost games, but they lost games close. They were in most of the games that they were in last year. And now they got one of the most dynamic wide receivers in the game. They gave up a lot for him, but this is the kind of moves you make. And you go out there and you seek trade partners. The Giants were looking around, and the Browns said, sure, here you go. Why not? We could use this. And the Giants, unfortunately, are in rebuilding mode, and they can't use it. Think about where they were a year ago, Ron. They signed him to a massive deal. And now, a year later, they've dumped him. They've dumped him for picks. They're going to take dead space on the cap. This was supposed to be a cornerstone of him and Saquon Barkley with a young quarterback after Eli left. And now, I don't know where the Giants are heading. I don't know where the Giants are going, but it's now Barkley, the only offensive weapon they have, so good luck with that.
It almost feels like, to me, it feels like they're playing for not this coming season, the following season. I mean, it's almost like as if they went into full tank mode before the season even started. Because Saquon, that's their only weapon. Is he going to carry for like 45 carries a game now?
Exactly. What are you going to do? You get stuck 8 in the box now against the Giants because they're not going to throw. And even if they throw, so what?
I mean, I was telling you about this coming in, and I love this stat that Odell Beckham Jr. threw the two longest touchdown passes last year, a 49-yarder and like a 50-yarder or something like that. Eli's longest touchdown pass last season was 30-plus yards.
Yes. Exactly. Right.
I mean, the guy, and you look at him, it's like, this guy can't throw anymore. He's a shell of who he used to be. And we know that this was his swan song. And I mean, do they go after a quarterback this season, or they just say, we're all in for Tua next year?
I think they go after a quarterback this season. I think I think if you can convince, listen, if you're Dave Gettleman, you've got a choice here. And Steve Serby brought this up at the New York Post, which I think is interesting. The Giants should have a conversation with Eli Manning about what exactly he wants. Is it just to collect the $17 million bucks or whatever he's getting paid? Is that it? Because the Giants aren't going to win. And if Manning wants to be part of a mediocre, terrible season, good luck. Good luck. Gettleman is got to have a conversation saying, look, we are rebuilding this team. I may get a quarterback. If I get a quarterback, Eli, I want him to play this year. And that is not sitting around waiting for you to fill out a season. I'm going to want him to play. If you want to be part of that, meaning at any moment, I will pull you. I will tell the Pat Shurmur to pull you and put in this young guy. If you want that, if you are willing to go through this season with that on the table, here you go. You can come, you can play. But if you don't, if that bothers you or that's going to be a problem for you, how do we part ways here? Because listen, Manning is, he's not just a veteran quarterback. He is a two-time Super Bowl champion. He has a place in Giants history. He has a place in the fan base. There are Manning loyalists all over the greater New York area that are going to thank him for those championships. And they want his legacy to be, you know, somewhat protected. Right? We always talk about this with the league. I keep saying it over and over again, and it bears repeating. This league will get rid of you before you want to get rid of it. Right? If you want to hang around, this league will find a way to kick you out. There's going to be eventually a time. For a guy like Tom Brady, it's in his 40s. For a guy like Eli Manning, it may be at 38. But if you're Dave Gettleman, you've got to have a conversation with Manning and say, listen, we're moving ahead. And this isn't going to be a retirement party for you this upcoming year. I've got to get a quarterback prepared. Right? I have got to get a quarterback prepared. Now, they've got the sixth pick in the draft, I think. So they've got to take a quarterback. Now, you're right. The problem with the idea of do you go for you, there's no guarantee you'd get Tua. You can't ask 53 guys to tank. 53 guys are going to play football.
Oh, I know you can't ask 53.
So you can't guarantee. So if you can get Dwayne Haskins, you get Dwayne Haskins. If you can get Tua, then you get Tua, then maybe Tua, whatever it is. But if you have an opportunity, and they will have an opportunity to get a quarterback in this draft, get the quarterback and then sit with Eli and saying, he's going to play. If you don't want this to happen, you have to decide how you want to end your Giants career. Because it's either going to be your way or our way, and our way, you're not going to like.
God, it just seems like such a disservice to Eli.
Of course. But at the same time, like I said, we've done this conversation many times. This isn't a go around, get a rocking chair and a few goodies on your trip. It's not a league that does that. Listen, I've tried to remind people about this. These kind of conversations happen a lot because players don't want to be kicked out. They don't want to be cut. They don't want to be benched. They don't want to finish out their career, you know, kind of. Right. I mean, think about the Patriots. We talk about with Brady all the time. The end's going to come. We don't know when. Could be 5 years from now. Could be 2 years from now. Whatever. It's going to come. But how it's going to come is still a mystery. Is it Tom going, I'm going to play till I'm 45, even if I'm wearing another uniform? Or is it the Patriots going, you'll play to 45. You can play until you're 50. We don't care. We'll let you decide. It's probably more of the Patriots going, eventually this guy's going to slide a bit.
End.
Yeah, it's going to end. It can't last forever, and it's coming sooner than later. But at this, you know, and at the same time, this is, you know, we've got a plan for the future. You just traded your best offensive weapon, and now you're going to have Eli Manning play to a 5-11 season. I mean, they've got nothing. Saquon Barkley is going to. If I'm defenses, I stack the box and say, "Go ahead, run." Give me your second best offensive weapon before you traded Odell. Go ahead. Go ahead. Run. Try to run against us. And if you want to throw, good luck. Go ahead and throw. We'll see how that works out. But maybe Eli goes, nah, you know what? I'm staying. I'm getting a lot of money. And you know what? You're not kicking me out of here. Too bad. But I don't know if Eli wants to get benched. Remember he got benched? Bob McAdoo benched him for that one game? People went crazy nuts.
I guess if he was to get benched now, I don't know how nuts they would go.
Yeah, well, if you're a Giant fan, this is now the mode you have to get into, right? If you're a Giants fan, you have to switch into, okay, you know what? I didn't know we would be competitive. Because they also let Landon Collins walked for nothing. I mean, nothing. They got nothing for him. And he knew he was going to walk. And they didn't trade him. They didn't try to get something for him. He just walked and went to the Redskins. And so now you're in a position where you've got some money. You can start rebuilding, plan for the future.
But they don't. I mean, they're also paying out $33 million for what, 10 players who aren't on their team?
Yeah, I know.
And that's what's
right. That's true.
That's what doesn't make sense to me. It's like, man, you're already giving out a decent salary for maybe what, three players?
Yeah, no kidding.
And you have nothing?
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So it is.
As far as head scratching, is that I don't understand the rationale. I mean, I get, you know what, hey, you if you get picks and you get, you know, you get all this stuff and you're planning for the future, if you've decided, you know, maybe just come out and say, like, you know what, hey, we're not getting any younger. We need to get out and we need to kind of rebuild this thing. Then come out and say rebuild, but they haven't. I mean, yeah. The whole thing, I mean, just going through my mind, Dave Gettleman last season going, oh, no, we didn't sign Odell Beckham to trade him.
Right, exactly. And then a year later, they did.
And then, yes. To a team now, I'm like, hey, you know what? If I wasn't on the Browns train last season, I'm going to be on the Browns train this season. I can't wait to see this team perform.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
So much fun.
It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. So, but, and listen, going back to the Browns, hey, you know what? Great, great move. Great move for the Browns, right? Oh, they're God. Done. They're, listen, I love this move because the Browns, like people are like, well, you know, there's going to be the draft pick guy that just loves draft picks or like they gave up so many draft picks. You know what? They've had draft picks. Okay. They've had 20 something years of draft picks.
They've got so
like,
much.
Enough. They've had top picks forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You know what? They now have landed one of the premier wide receivers in the game. Good. Have fun. You and Baker Mayfield have a great time dominating a division now where all these teams have been gutted.
Well, I mean, you look at it.
Good luck.
Double team Odell. Go ahead,
right.
Double team Odell. You're just leaving Jarvis 1-on-1 now.
Exactly. He's going to play. Oh, my God. Two LSU guys. This is going to be fan great. If I'm in Cleveland, this is so fun. I'm watching the Steelers break down. I'm watching the Ravens break down. Bengals don't want to do anything, right? They're like, I don't know. Are we supposed to play this game? I guess. And now they've got one of the more dynamic players in the NFL. They've got a young offense that's fun to watch, a quarterback that's great. Right. I mean, Cleveland, be happy. Be happy. Because even if you struggle, like even if it's not like it doesn't turn into like a massive like 13-3 type of season, you're going to be in every game. You're going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
You're building something awesome. You're moving up. Everyone else in the division's moving down.
And that's the thing. They were in every game last season.
Yes, exactly.
And now they've gotten better.
Yep. Oh, this is good. It'll this is great. It'll be fun. 800-777-2907. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Also at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. We'll talk more about with the NFL, including Le'Veon Bell. Did he actually win by going to the Jets and getting kind of out of Pittsburgh? We'll talk about that coming up. It is SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, doing a repair that needs a special tool. O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with the Loaner Tool Program. Over 80 specialized loaner tools are available. So O'Reilly's is sure to have the tool in stock to help you get the job done. Purchase the needed parts and put down a deposit on the loaner tool. Then return that tool in the original condition. Receive a full refund. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So Le'Veon Bell is off to the Jets. That wasn't surprising at all. We kind of thought that would be the case. When Anthony Barr wait a minute, did I just agree to a deal with the Jets? I'm going to stay in Minnesota. Thanks. You know, I thought, okay, but the Jets were throwing crazy money out there. And I thought, yeah, they're going to end up landing Le'Veon Bell. Look, there's going to be a lot of conversation about did Le'Veon win this? Did the Steelers win this? I mean, you know, playing that game. Le'Veon Bell stood for a principle. You may not agree with the principle, but he stood for a principle. He wanted a long-term deal with the Steelers. He did not want to play under the franchise tag because he was looking for his future and saying, look, if I play for the franchise tag and I get hurt and I get hurt badly, that affects me because the Steelers will get rid of me and no one will sign me or I'll get a lot less. I'll try to rehab and come back and I want guarantee. And the Steelers said no. And Bell said, well, I still want a guarantee. And the Steelers said, no, not the what you're looking for. I don't really know. And so he sat out. So what does he get? Well, he gets $14.5 million guaranteed Well, he gave up $14.5 million guaranteed to play with Pittsburgh. So he gets $35 million guaranteed with the Jets. He could have parlayed that if he was healthy. He could have parlayed that into a bigger deal with Pittsburgh. But instead, this is what he gets with the Jets. He also goes to New York. But he leaves a chance with the Steelers because the Steelers are a team that with him are, you know, good chance of making the playoffs, even without Antonio Brown. Good chance of making the playoffs. And he goes to the Jets. Now, look, the Jets are an organization. We pick on them a lot. But the reality of it is the Jets have done this before where they go out and they get a player. They get this guy. They get this guy. And they still don't do anything. Except for a few times that they've had when they had Mark Sanchez in the postseason, they're not a successful team in terms of getting to the playoffs and being successful in the playoffs. I know they had two AFC championship runs with Sanchez, but that's pretty much it. Now, it doesn't mean the Jets can't be good with Sam Darnold and the team that they're building. Any franchise can change it around, right? Any franchise can flip the switch. But I think Le'Veon Bell won here because psychologically he got what he wanted, right? He got guaranteed money. If you add up what he gave up plus this money, that's not the way I think I would look at it if I was Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell sat out knowing he was giving up the $14.5 million from Pittsburgh. He sat out knowing that. He was willing to do that. He was okay with doing that because there was a principle here. And in the end, he got what he wanted, even if he sacrificed a year. And sacrificing a year on a running back's body is not exactly a terrible thing. Yes, did he give up his paycheck for a year? Yes, but he did it for a reason that he knew what the reason was. He wasn't going to play without a future, and he didn't. If that cost him $14.5 million, it cost him $14.5 million. So that being said, I think Bell wins here. I didn't like it. Listen, I'm a Steeler fan. I didn't like it because there's a business aspect of it that we never like about sports, right? When we're talking about professionals and even so much in the college, you know, with coaches leaving and players transferring, there's a business angle to this that we want. We want guys all in. We want guys as, you know, wanting to be part of the team as we are part of the team in terms of fans. But the business side for Le'Veon Bell said, listen, I'm not going to put my body at risk. I'm not going to put myself at risk of future earnings. This is what I do for a living. I don't do this for free. I do it to make a living, and I do it to set up my family for generations. And I'm putting that at risk for an organization that's not willing to bet on me. So I'm going to bet on myself. I'll sit out a year. Now, again, you may disagree with that. You may not like that. I know Steeler players did not like that in the offseason, willing to publicly comment on Antonio Brown, which normally NFL players don't do, given their animosity towards ownership in terms of how their contracts are structured. But they were willing to do it at training camp. And so Bell ends up, again, getting what he wanted and getting on a different team and getting out of Pittsburgh and getting a good $35 million in guaranteed money. So, again, you can do the math. You can add up the lost revenue here, the lost revenue there, et cetera, et cetera. But I think for Bell, he proved his point. He made the statement. And I got to be honest with you. As much as I didn't like it, and I wasn't a huge fan of it, I give people credit. Even if I disagree with what they're doing, I give people credit when they go all in. And Le'Veon Bell was all in on this. Remember, there was that moment where we were talking about during the regular season, right? He had this particular day to report, and there was conversation that maybe he would, maybe probably wasn't, but you never know. Well, he didn't. He didn't. And then it made that decision complete. I give him credit for that. I didn't like it, but I give him credit for that. And now he's a Jet. So again, have fun. Play in New York. Figure it out. And you know what? With the Giants rebuilding, the Jets have an opportunity to take over and do something special this year. But I don't know. Like, New York is a weird city because New York is a weird city because with they have two franchises, like the Yankees and the Mets, and the Mets always are kind of like the kid sister. And I feel like that way with the Giants. Like, the Giants, like, I think that there is going to be in the city, if the Jets are okay, right? They're not great. Like, if the Jets go like to a 7-0 start, then they take over the media. Okay, I get it. But let's say the Jets are pretty good, but they're not great, but they're good enough, and they're making a little run at a wild card. There's a conversation about them making the playoffs, right? They're not going to win the division, but they're not bad. There's still, I think the conversation is going to be the Giants rebuilding and the mess the Giants may be in.
Well, what it is, I mean, when the door opens, the second-tier team, whether it's the Jets or the Mets, they never want to step up.
Right, exactly, yeah.
You know, the Mets had an opportunity during the late 80s, early 90s, and they made a good run. They made a name for themselves, but then they quickly fall apart. And the Jets here, they do the same exact thing all the time.
It was weird. When I was living in New Jersey before I moved back to Nashville, I remember listening to some New York radio, and they were talking about the Mets, and they were talking about the Mets rebuilding. Not rebuilding, but some of the silliness of the Mets. And somebody said, yeah, well, in the World Series a couple of years ago. And I went, oh, yeah, they were in the World Series a couple of years ago. Like, that's weird. You know, it's like I totally forgot the Mets. I would never forget if the Yankees were in the World Series. But with the Mets, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. They played the Royals and they lost. They were just a pennant-winning team not that long ago. All right. It is Tony D. It's Ron Culver. It is SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Ron, back from a little mini vacation. Did you have a good time?
I did. Yeah. It was just good to get away.
You charge your batteries, as they say.
Recharge the batteries. Ended up doing a lot of walking.
Oh yeah,
which is good. On vacation, yeah. Then we come back and we're like, you know what? We need to get on a health kick.
I know. Time to get those
New Year's resolutions going. You know.
My God, I hate that. When we used to take the kids to Disney World, my feet would throb every night. I'd be in the hotel screaming.
Oh, I got to tell you the best thing though is you know you do that because you know we ended up going to SeaWorld. We ended up going to. Six Flags there in San Antonio. Best thing about it, hot tub at the hotel.
I know, isn't the best. The best.
I was hesitant, but with my wife and I, the kids were like, can we go down to the pool? I'm like, you know, we're tired. We just want to sit in the room, put our feet up on the bed, and, you know, crank the AC down to Arctic temperatures because you can, because you're not paying for it. You are paying for it, but you're not paying for it.
Right.
But then, you know, it's out there. It's like, you know what? That hot tub is really calling our name.
No, it's the best. San Antonio is a nice city.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
I enjoy it. I remember driving out to Arizona, and I was like mid-90s, and I was kind of hustling around. And I remember driving. I stayed overnight in San Antonio, and I thought, man, I don't want to leave. I want to stay here for a while. I like the town. It was really nice. So I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you recharged the batteries.
Did. We'll see how long these batteries stay recharged. Might have to go back and do it again, you know?
So while you were gone, Russell Westbrook got fined $25,000 for yelling at a fan in Utah yesterday, the other night, Monday night. And so the fan has now been permanently banned from Jazz games in Salt Lake City.
Of course
now,
he is.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I hate these kind of stories because I hate when, why do people, here's why I don't like the story. I don't understand the mindset of going to a game and yelling vulgar stuff at opposing players. Like what makes you so angry as a fan that you're willing to put that at risk to yell? Like if indeed he yelled what he yelled at Russell Westbrook, which Westbrook says was get on your knees like you used to. Right. What would make you yell that at Russell Westbrook? It's one thing to cheer for the Jazz, boo the Thunder, but what would make you so like lunatic level fandom that you would yell that? And I'm glad the Jazz responded to this because I think as fans, we need to cool it a little bit. We think that ticket gives us the right to do whatever we want in the stadium, and we don't read the back of tickets very well. That ticket doesn't get you anything. admission to a game doesn't mean that because you paid for the ticket, you can do whatever you want. Like, you can't walk on the court whenever you want. You can't go down to the bench whenever you want. You can't even go to another seat in the arena whenever you want, even if there's empty seats below where you are. You are restricted by a number of rules when you go to a game, right? And yet people think, nah, maybe I'll scream at players and yell racial stuff or whatever at players. And because I'm a paying customer, they have to take it. No, they don't have to take it. Right. I supported Russell Westbrook in responding to the fan. I got a little iffy when he threatened the girlfriend, the wife or because the significant other. Apparently she didn't do anything or say anything. That was a little over the top. And I think the NBA should respond to that with Westbrook. Look, the NBA is going to find guys who do this because in the end, you don't want you got to kind of give guys a little bit of pullback when it comes to responding to fans. You just 25 grand for Russell Westbrook is nothing. I mean, it's a drop in the hat, but you do want to get the players, you know, listen, try not to do this. We know you hear some really, really bad things and there are arenas that are notorious, more notorious for this than others. We want you to kind of have some restraint. We kind of, you know, we get it, but have some restraint. All right. They didn't suspend him. I mean, they didn't tell him he couldn't play for 5 games or whatever, like 25 grand fine. It's almost like, we get it, but we got to do this because you don't want NBA players. I mean, they're big guys. I mean, you don't want them threatening fans. I mean, you know, no matter what they say, the fan didn't physically attack him and you know,
he's just saying words.
He's just saying words. So Westbrook, you know, verbally threatening threatening physical violence to a fan. You just can't have it. But if you're Adam Silver, you go 25 grand, give it to charity and just keep your mouth shut if you could. That'd be great. That's pretty much it.
No, but I'm with you. I mean, you know, we will all go to a stadium. We'll boo the hated one, whoever it is on the opposite team. We'll boo them or, you know, if you're watching baseball and the pitcher throws a little high and tight to, you know, your best player on your team, you're going to boo. And, you know, you might say like, oh, you know, get that bum out of here or things like that. That's all fine. That's all part of the experience. And I think, you know, players revel in that. I think it's when you almost get a little personal.
Yeah, well, that's
where
the
you're
thing.
Crossing the line.
Yeah, if you're in the stands and you yell at a guy, you know, as part of some sort of, you know, big moment in a game, that's fine. But Westbrook was just kind of hanging around, and this guy felt like the need to say this while he had an up-close seat, knowing he was going to be heard. Like, that's different. Like, yeah, if you yell, if you're just screaming, yeah, you're right. If you're a pitcher and you throw high and tight or you hit a batter, you know, your team, and you're yelling, you're just part of the crowd that's kind of doing that. But when you're close and you're saying something you know is being heard, it's not throwing it because Russell Westbrook threw an elbow. It was just because he was there. Like, that's different. That's different. And I just don't know that mindset, you know. Look, heckling is fun if it's done right. I think there was the guy remember he was the Bullets fan back in the day when they were the Bullets, and it was a Wizard, Robin Fickler, I think his name was, kind of a famous NBA heckler. Like, even the players kind of knew him and kind of had some fun with him. But he, you know, that happens. But this was different. I mean, this was really awful. If indeed that's what the guy said. And the Jazz said, well, we don't really care. He can't come back. So that stinks too. Like, because apparently if you can get tickets down there, and I don't know how he got them, maybe he bought them or he's a season ticket holder, but if tickets down there, that's kind of a cool place to be. And now you can't even be in the arena anymore. So what are you going to do in Utah? Like, that's it. Like, there's no NFL team. There's no, you got the Utes or BYU down in Provo, but as far as professional, like, you're out.
There's
nothing.
You
can't go in.
Is there a minor league team?
Yeah, I guess there's the Utah Buzz, I think, is a baseball team.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
I don't know. I know.
That's terrible. I guess you just go hang out the Salt Flat Races.
I have to look that up. I think. Yeah, right? I think Utah's like the Beehive State or something like that.
Yeah, I think you're
right. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So I think that's where it comes from. But, like, let's say your buddy at work is like, hey, you want to go to the Jazz game? I got 3 tickets. Yeah, I'm sorry. I totally forgot. You're the guy that got banned. Oh, I'm so sorry. Totally forgot.
You can go total Bobby Valentine on it.
That's, yeah, you could.
You know, fake glasses, fake mustache.
He should. He should wear the fake glasses and the fake mustache.
Yeah, the Groucho Marx glasses and mustache. Go for it.
Yeah. Hello there.
Yeah, your nightlife now is limited to, I mean, no disrespect to Utah, but I imagine that the nightlife isn't all that great.
I'm sure it's not
just
all that awesome.
Just from stories and rumors that we have heard. So, I mean, you know what? The money that you use towards jazz tickets, I guess you're going to see every major blockbuster this summer.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
Until they lift the permanent ban.
He should wear he should wear the glasses, the nose, and the mustache and go up to the front and fake his accent. Like, hello, I'm here to buy a ticket to your professional basketball team, the Jazz, is it? I think they're called yes, I'd like to experience basketball for the first time in my life. Can I get a ticket, please? And they're looking at him going, sure, Mr. Man from nowhere. Here's a ticket. And then he walks in and takes off the glasses. Look, it's me again. God, that's great. Gotta be. I mean, can you imagine getting banned, like your favorite team? Can you imagine, like, you go, like, that would stink. God, that would stink. Especially if you go 4 or 5 times a year, 5 or 6 or 10 times a year.
Well, I mean, you know, it just goes along with the week. I mean, James Dolan banned a fan as well.
He said he was ambushed. No, he wasn't. Yeah.
You weren't ambushed.
He just saw an opportunity and yelled, sell the team. That's what it was. You walked through a tunnel. He was near the tunnel. He yelled at you. He wasn't ambushing you. Stop with that. He was just a fan who said the same thing.
He's got videotape showing him moving from one side of the arena to the other.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, how many of us have never bought a cheap ticket and like, yeah, you know what? I think it's safe. No one's sitting in, you know, row 3.
Absolutely.
Let's move on down. They're not going to care now.
Who hasn't done that? Right? You wait to period in the game and you go down there and you're like, yep, I'm sitting here.
Yeah. It just, I mean, I don't know. I think owners right now, they might be getting a little too sensitive. I mean, players are separate. Players, I mean, you know, players, you're getting trash talk from the other team, and that's fine. You're supposed to. You know, I know, like, especially in the NBA, there's a lot of trash talk going on the court, and I think it's easier for them, you know, for NBA and NFL. I think there's a lot of trash talk that goes on during the game. But, you know, when it comes from a fan, I guess, you know, if you say something that is feels a little too personal, that's probably where you draw the line. Then this is probably one of the, I mean, when you're making a reference to something, that's probably, I mean, I'd obviously drew the line for Westbrook.
Yeah.
You know, he just didn't like that.
He said he meant something else, but who knows? It doesn't matter. The Jazz banned you. So whatever you said,
worth it?
Listen, again, and this isn't like a court of law or anything like that. They have absolutely every right to kick you out. They own it. You don't have to go. You don't have a right to go. So you can claim all you want. You meant something else. Maybe you did. I don't know. I have no idea what you said.
What do we see all the time, like in a small, especially small business, mom and pop businesses that, you know, we always say the customer is always right. But I mean, you always also always say, you know, the restaurant, the owner has a right to refuse service.
Yep, right. Exactly. Exactly.
And that's all this is. I mean, I think people forget that this isn't. That it isn't a business, that this is purely entertainment. It's like, a movie theater can't kick me out. It's like, no, they can. It's a business. Somebody owns it. And if they don't like you, they don't need you there.
Exactly. Exactly.
They'll sell your ticket to somebody else, and they're fine with that.
God, it just stinks. It just stinks. Especially when you're a fan. You can't go to games.
Like, well, no matter what, if you're in Utah, you can do. What are you going to do?
Right. And here's the deal. There's nothing you can do. Like, how do you fight that? Like, honestly, do you call this team like 2 years from now and go, man, can I get off the ban list? Can I apologize? How do I get back? Because listen, like, I don't know this guy's dedication to the Jazz, but I'm just going to assume he's gone. He likes the team, obviously. Maybe, you know, however it is. And maybe this is a guy that's like, yeah, this is part of my entertainment. This is part of my entertainment life. This is what I spend my money on. And now the Jazz went, not anymore.
Not
see
only
you
that,
later.
But
go find something else.
You know, too, that this was probably alcohol fueled. And that's possibly. That's what makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, you got beer muscles and that, you know, that you figured, oh, I'm indestructible. And I can say this, nothing's going to happen to me. And then when you wake up the next day, you're just like, oh, man, that was stupid. Because I live
dumb.
In Utah.
It's not like I can go to a Major League Baseball game.
Any other city. If this was Seattle, you know, there's something to choose from. You know, it's like there's a few places where you probably shouldn't do that. Utah, maybe Oklahoma City. not many options for you.
Yep. That's right. That's right. All right. Again, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio or at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. We'll continue to look at the NFL free agency, the movers and the shakers. We'll talk about that next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Nick Foles, Jacksonville, that was the thing yesterday. Now it's Odell Beckham getting traded to the Cleveland Browns. Nick Foles, $88 million. Yesterday we were talking about how, all right, it's $22 million a year. It puts him above certain quarterbacks, below certain others. You know what? I don't like getting hung up on the money when it comes to, well, oh, did they overpay? Did they not overpay? Here's what happens. Let's say your house is in desperate need of somebody to come and pump out water because you had a hot water heater explode or something. You know, you can say you overpay or not overpay, but you pay what you have to pay to get it done. Jacksonville needs a quarterback. Where were they going to find a valuable, like a value quarterback? Like, Jacksonville wasn't in a position to go shopping for a QB. They needed a quarterback. And, you know, $22 million is $22 million. And that doesn't seem unreasonable to me. I think this is just a talking point people want to use when it comes to Nick Foles' contract because, you know, he was a backup. He hasn't played 16 full games yet, et cetera, et cetera. But listen, he's a Super Bowl MVP. He plays the position particularly well. He's reuniting with a former coach. $22 million isn't a lot to give a starting quarterback. You're paying Blake Bortles that kind of crazy money, and he didn't do anything. It's not like they're paying him $50 million a year. Like, if he did that, it was way, way out of the spectrum, then I get it. Or if he set the bar for quarterbacks, that would, you know, I understand where people are coming from. $22 million, again, it's above a lot of quarterbacks. It's below a few quarterbacks. I don't think there's anything to stress out about. It's a good deal for Jacksonville. They get a QB. Now, they got a lot of issues. They got a lot of holes. This isn't the same team that went to the AFC title game two years ago. This isn't the same team. So they got a lot of, a friend of mine from Jacksonville joked on Facebook. He said, he had the article and he made a really good point, but it was kind of funny. He said, great, now they need a tight end, wide receiver, running back, and an offensive line. And they have a running back in Leonard Fournette. They just need him to be better. But it's true. I mean, they still got a lot of holes to fill. Their offensive line wasn't that good. They got to shore that up. But Odell Beckham to the Browns. Boy, the AFC North could be really, really interesting at that. We'll continue the conversation on the NFL free agency. 800-777-2907. You want to get in on it. Also on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Right, and at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's, as we roll along on a Wednesday morning on SB Nation AM.